medicine physicians and specialists, 100 in healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100 in Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.100inhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The stock market is up significantly over 30% since President Trump was elected.
And Treasury Chief Steve Mnuchin tells a congressional panel this morning that's even with yesterday's huge plummet in the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
And we continue to believe in the long-term impact of the stock market.
But it's already been a very up-and-down day on Wall Street today as the Dow Jones Industrial Average opened 500 points lower. It then rose by over 300 points before retreating somewhat again. This is a day after the Dow fell by nearly 1,200 points, or about 4% of its value. A British judge refusing to overturn an arrest warrant for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, meaning the 46-year-old is probably going to have to stay holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy where he's been for over 5 years. And this is USA Radio News.
You know, many of us use Facebook, and I see a lot of questions oftentimes about how the feed is going to work or the new feed or what they're doing. And so for answers, who better to go to than Lindsay Shepherd, Director of Product Marketing with Facebook. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thanks so much for having me. You know, Facebook is really built to bring people closer together. We all log on to Facebook to see the stories from our friends and our family that spark conversations, and that's what we're there for. Lately, we've been hearing some feedback from our community that we've started to drift from that. So we're making a big update to newsfeed to sort of get back to our roots and make sure that the stories you see in your newsfeed are the ones that matter to you most, the ones from your friends and family.
Where can we go to get more information about what we can do to control our own feed?
In Facebook, there's a More menu when you're in your newsfeed, and in there you want to click on Newsfeed Preferences. And that's going to give you a whole host of options about how to make sure your newsfeed is just right for you.
Thank you so much. Good info.
Thank you.
The House Intelligence Committee has now voted to put out the Democratic memo that challenges the Republicans' memo about reported surveillance abuses by the FBI. Now it's President Trump's decision as to whether that Democratic memo will be released to the public. President Trump on the road yesterday visiting a hydraulic equipment factory in Ohio, talking about the economy, the Republican tax cut law, and also about his State of the Union address, as we hear from USA Radio's John Clemens.
Mr. Trump said the refusal by the Democrats to applaud during his comments about the economy.
So that means they would rather see Trump do badly, okay, than our country do well. That's what it means. It's very selfish.
He also said the GOP has a secret weapon for the midterm elections, saying the comments by House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, who described the bonuses given to workers as crumbs, will help the Republican Party.
Best known for his role as the father in Frasier, John Mahoney, the actor, is dead at 77. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Could Vice President Mike Pence meet with officials of North Korea as he attends the Winter Olympics? Well, Pence suggests it's not out of the question. Although as he was heading for Asia last night, he did say of the North Korean government,
a regime that oppresses its own people, a regime that threatens nations around the world.
Pence would not rule out a meeting with North Korean officials as he leads the U.S. delegation to the Olympic Games, which open in South Korea on Friday. Pence telling reporters that President Trump always believes in talking, though he added he hadn't requested any such meeting, but, quote, we'll see what happens. When the Patriots' Rob Gronkowski told a reporter this on Sunday night in Minneapolis,
It stinks.
He was referring to losing the Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles. But now police in Foxborough, Massachusetts say at about the time he said that, thieves were robbing Gronkowski's home. It appears a number of items were taken, including several safes and firearms. Police saying only it's an active and dynamic criminal investigation as of now. And the New Hampshire woman who won last month's $560 million Powerball jackpot wants to take that money but does not think the public should get to know her name. But lottery rules in New Hampshire require a winner's name, town, and amount to be made available for public information. Lottery officials say the integrity of the games depends on the public identification of winners as a protection against fraud and malfeasance. Despite the law, she's asking a judge, though, to let her keep the cash but stay anonymous. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from seats of shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! Today we're going to look at domestic terrorism. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us on this Groundhog's Day weekend. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh? Seeing any groundhogs?
Well, today we welcome to the Frontlines of Freedom family the tough, winter-hardened listeners of News Radio KOTA in Rapid City, North Dakota. Most of us know Rapid City as the gateway to Mount Rushmore, but you bikers know different, don't you? For you, Rapid City is the gateway to Sturgis. Welcome aboard to our new North Dakota friends.
Thanks, Josh. Hoo-ah. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks serious, as normal. We'll hear from him as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking smug. What's up, Skip?
Well, Colonel, you're going to be talking about Groundhog Day as well today, and I was thinking, since Punxsutawney Phil, he adds 6 weeks to winter almost every year. Should we label him as a domestic terrorist?
Ooh, that's true. But Beauregard Lee, who does south of the Mason-Dixon line, doesn't. So one will be and one won't be?
Well, I think Punxsutawney Phil, if he does it again this year, we exterminate him with extreme prejudice.
Ooh, come on. Well, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss, Groundhog's Day. Oh, yeah, and also the Tet Offensive in the Vietnam War. Retired Navy Captain Joe John will join us to discuss domestic terrorism. It's a real and growing threat to our nation. Then author Mark Heathcoe will discuss his book, Callsign Purple 3. It's about combat patrols in the demilitarized zone on the border of North and South Korea. It's serious. Next, Dr. Jeffrey Kuchner, a specialist in traumatic brain injury and works with the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact, will join us to take a look at traumatic brain injury. And finally, co-host Skip Coriel and I will discuss the State of the Union message. And today we're going to start our film review. I'll be assigning you a film to watch this month. We'll give you a link to find it. You're invited to email in your comments and we'll review it on the last show of the month. The movie is The Last Man Standing. Find the link on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your comments to this show, troops. Send us your ideas and comments, like you said, through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
A California public school teacher slammed military members as lowest of our low in a classroom rant that a smart-thinking student caught on video. El Rancho High history teacher Gregory Salcido, who also serves as an elected Pico Rivera, California city councilman and was once mayor, even goes so far as to refer to those who are in the military overseas as failed students who had no choice but to serve. Salcido is heard saying, quote, "Think about the people you know who are over there. Your freaking stupid Uncle Louie or whatever. They're dumb They're not high-level bankers. They're not academic people. They're not intellectual people." The public school teacher is also heard questioning why military recruiters were allowed to visit the school. Salcido said, quote, "We don't allow pimps to come into the school," end quote. While the school district has placed Salcido on paid administrative leave pending the results of an investigation, the Pico Rivera City Council, which he serves on, moved swiftly, releasing a statement unanimously condemning Salcido's remarks and removing him from all city council committees. A Pico Rivera eatery, Zappian's Salsa Grill, has removed a popular lunch special called The Mayor, named after Salcido. In a statement, the restaurant's proprietor said, "I am outraged by what he said against our military personnel and our veterans." And when asked for his thoughts on Salcido during a radio interview, retired four-star general, now White House Chief of Staff John Kelly said, "Well, I think the guy ought to go to hell. I just hope he enjoys the liberties and the lifestyles that we fought for."
I don't know what this turkey's problem is, but any time you put down a whole group of people, assigning negatives to them, you're a bigot of sorts. You're also clearly lacking the intelligence and values we want in a public school teacher. This is doubly true for one who teaches history and political science. Send this jerk to North Korea or Iran, where he can join other bigots who hate America.
50 years ago, after it was seized by North Korea, the USS Pueblo is the only U.S. Navy ship held captive by a foreign government. And though mostly forgotten in the U.S., for North Korea, this remains a potent symbol of their military success. The spy ship, attacked and captured 50 years ago this week, sits on the Potong River on the edge of the sprawling Victorious Fatherland Liberation War Museum complex in central Pyongyang, where thousands of North Koreans are brought each day to hear the North's version of how their country, against all odds, defeated the Americans in the 1950-53 Korean War and has been fighting off the hostile Goliath ever since. In a story commemorating the anniversary, North Korea's official news agency quoted a naval officer as saying, "The ship is a symbol of how the U.S. will suffer a crushing defeat if it infringes on the country's sovereignty." North Korea claims the ship entered its territorial waters when it was attacked, and a map near the ship's communication room shows a dozen or so incursions made by the Pueblo before its capture. The ship's other visuals are mostly intended to underscore the American humiliation. There are grainy black and white photos of the captain signing a confession and of crew members walking across the DMZ after their release nearly a year later.
The Pueblo was ill-equipped for the fight that it got on 23 January 1968. The ship was strafed by machine gun fire and boarded. The 82 survivors were taken prisoner. We sent carriers to the Sea of Japan and demanded the captives be released. But other than that, we did nothing. We just griped and disgracefully abandoned our sailors. North Korea, for its part, forced members of the crew, who say they were beaten frequently, to make public confessions. It ended on 21 December 1968. You know, we need to take that ship back from North Korea, and soon.
Russia is reportedly increasing the number of S-400 surface-to-air missile systems in western Syria, where it operates maritime and air forces. Two mobile missile batteries have been delivered to an airbase in Latakia province, while another two went to Tartus Naval Port on the Med. Whether this poses significant or increased threat to U.S. warplanes operating in the country for the fight against the Islamic State remains to be seen. The missile batteries' final locations have not been disclosed. U.S. Air Force Central Command would not comment on the reported SAMS deployment or on any extra precautions it may take for fighter and drone aircraft operating in the country.
Russia is definitely establishing control over Syria, and their only real rival is Iran, with whom they agree on many goals in the region. Thus, our forces who are supporting the Syrian rebels who want to free their nation from its present dictator are going to be at greater risk because Russia will keep our air support away from key Syrian government areas. The Russian Empire is being established, and this isn't good for anybody.
Trump administration national security officials are considering an unprecedented federal takeover of a portion of the nation's mobile network to guard against China, according to documents obtained by Axios. The concern exists because China has achieved a dominant position in the manufacture and operation of network infrastructure, and China is the dominant malicious actor in the information domain. The challenge: America needs a centralized nationwide 5G network within 3 years. There will be a fierce debate inside the Trump administration and an outcry from the industry over how such a network is built and paid for. Two options are on the table. The government pays for and builds the single network, which would be an unprecedented nationalization of a historically private infrastructure. Or wireless providers build their own 5G networks that compete with one another. The downside is it could take longer and cost more. It argues that one of the pros is that it would cause less commercial disruption to the wireless industry than the government building a network. The internal White House debate will be over whether the government owns and builds the network or whether the carriers bind together in a consortium to build the network, an idea that would require them to put aside their business models to serve the country's greater good.
Our wireless industry is already working on deploying 5G networks with AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, for example, investing heavily in the area. The process for settling 5G standards is well underway. Korea has been a forefront of testing, as have Japan and others. It's not clear a national strategy would yield a 5G network, either faster or by the memo's three-year goal. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk domestic terrorism with retired Navy Captain Joe John. At ease, troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Sit down with your children and make a plan for home defense. Let them know that if shooting starts, they should drop to the ground for safety. If they hear breaking glass or see a home invader, they should notify you immediately if safely possible. If they can't get to you, they should hide until the danger is over. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
Hi, this is Ed Rollins. President Trump has demanded an end to chain migration and the visa lottery, along with securing our borders by building the wall. But many in Washington refuse to support President Trump's immigration policies, including the wall. Tell Congress it is time to fully support President Trump's immigration policies and fully fund the wall. Congress was given a mandate by the American people, and we need to send a message that we are going to support President Trump all the way through 2020, and we demand they do the same. Join me in demanding Congress support President Trump's immigration policies and fund the wall. Call now.
President Trump is demanding an end to chain migration, an end to the visa lottery, and the building of a wall to secure our southern border. Please pick up the phone now and call 800-334-0730. If you support President Trump's immigration policies, 800-334-0730. Call 800-334-0730.
Paid for by Great America PAC, which is responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. GreatAmericaPAC.com.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Troops, in the past few days, we celebrated two very significant dates. The first is probably more significant to me than to most of you. It's Groundhog's Day, February 2nd. I don't know why I like it so much, but I really don't like Valentine's Day. I think it's sort of a Hallmark holiday. So my wife gets flowers on Groundhog's Day. You may or may not know that Punxsutawney Phil services the northern states, and Beauregard Lee services those south of the Mason-Dixon line. The question is, did the groundhog see his shadow when he stuck his head out of his hole on his day? If he sees his shadow, summer will be delayed in coming. So, happy Groundhog's Day to all of you. My other major event is the beginning of the Tet Offensive in Vietnam 50 years ago on the 31st of January. I know why this is important to me. I was in heavy fighting 50 years ago today. The 101st Airborne Division had deployed to Vietnam in late December. By late January, my unit was located near the ancient capital of Hue. The offensive put us in almost daily contact with the enemy. As we attacked south towards the city of Hue, we conducted a battalion-level assault against enemy forces. There were lots of them, and they were well-armed. That attack lasted 3 days. Then we spent weeks clearing them out of the region. There were numerous fights virtually every day, some of them very intense. In my 2 years in Vietnam as an infantryman, this was the most intense fighting I ever participated in. Here's the background. The Tet Offensive was a series of surprise attacks by the Viet Cong, VC, and North Vietnamese Army, NVA, on scores of cities, towns, and hamlets throughout South Vietnam. The North Vietnamese leaders knew they could not indefinitely sustain the heavy losses inflicted by our military, so they had to win with an all-out military effort. Further, Ho Chi Minh was nearing death, and they needed a victory for him. The enemy's combined forces, about 85,000 men, launched a major offensive throughout South Vietnam starting on January 31, 1968, the first day of the Lunar New Year, Vietnam's most important holiday. It took weeks for U.S. and South Vietnamese troops to retake all of the captured cities. Even though the offensive was a military failure for the communists, it was a political and psychological victory for them because it dramatically contradicted the optimistic claims by our government that the war was all but over. By late 1967, forces of our army, our allies, and the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, the ARVN, had entrenched themselves in the six major cities of South Vietnam and had growing success in the countryside. A series of scattered diversionary attacks by the Viet Cong gradually drew more U.S. and ARVN troops away from the cities. Then on the first day of Tet, and this was during an agreed-on ceasefire period, they attacked five of the South Vietnam's major cities and about 50 hamlets. In Saigon, they attacked the presidential palace, the airport, the ARVN headquarters, and fought their way onto the U.S. embassy grounds. The U.S. and ARVN forces, who were caught off guard, quickly responded and within a week had recouped most of the lost territory. Hue was a different story, however, as the Viet Cong held their ground. By the time the city was retaken on February 24th, the historic city had been all but leveled. Thousands of civilians were executed, and 100,000 residents had lost their homes. It became known as the Massacre of Hue. American spokesmen initially described the Tet Offensive as a failure for the Viet Cong, pointing to their retreat and staggering casualties. But when General Westmoreland reported that for us to complete the Viet Cong's defeat, it would require an estimated 200,000 more American soldiers and require activation of the reserves at home, even loyal supporters of the war began to see that a change in strategy was necessary. To a growing segment of the American public, Tet demonstrated the resolve of the Viet Cong and the tenuous control the South Vietnamese government had over its own territory. This led to an end of the support for the war held by many, many Americans. And our media reported it as a major victory for the communists, even though they lost every single battle. This lie really annoyed all veterans. Later, the NVA general wrote in his memoirs that he'd lost so many men in the Tet fighting that he asked his leaders in Hanoi to allow him to totally withdraw. However, his leaders read victory in the support they were getting from our news media, so they stayed in the fight, and the war lasted five more years, and they won. I'd say that our media extended the war and won it for the communists. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom, and we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. You're going to discuss the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Are you going to read me my rights, Roland?
2017 was an incredible year for the Coast Guard. They had a record number of maritime drug interdictions and sent an unprecedented number of drug smugglers to the United States to stand trial. However, last November, the New York Times published an investigative story decrying the conditions under which suspected smugglers are held aboard Coast Guard vessels, sometimes for weeks or months at a time. It quoted a former Coast Guard attorney who called the ships, quote, floating Guantanamos, and detailed conditions that are often cramped and sometimes frigid above the service's cutters. The Times story was told sympathetically from the perspective of one of the detainees, who described scant meals and fear due to being separated from family. Frankly, the story is pretty slanted and had no appreciation for the conditions under which Coast Guard crews themselves work and live below decks. The ships they are referring to are the Hamilton-class high-endurance cutters, which first entered the service in 1965. And due to the extremely small Coast Guard budget, there's actually still four of these cutters still in service. The Commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Paul Zunkef, has little sympathy to spare for these detainees. He said, quote, go below deck and look at where my crew is berthing. The living conditions in any prison system in the United States are better than the berthing areas in these 52-year-old ships. Frankly, we're operating out of prisons. He went on further stating, quote, we can't lose sight of the fact that these individuals who were detained, they're peddling poison. They're responsible for 64,000 deaths in the United States. These aren't just down-on-their-luck fishermen. They have a choice. You can either fish or you can be a criminal. Now, while detainees are often in open air above deck, the temperate climates in and around the U.S. Southern Command area of operations means there's really little hardship of exposure to elements. However, the Coast Guard is now considering the possibility of investing in a platform that would do nothing but hold detainees until they could be transported to the mainland. Now, while the Coast Guard Commandant isn't too concerned about the conditions of these suspected smugglers, he has other reasons for wanting to get out of the floating jail business. Right now, the Coast Guard is spending about a third of the ship's time moving detainees from one ship to another to provide them the best creature comforts at sea until they can get them to Panama, which is the only country right now that will accept detainees for further transportation back to the United States. There's just one other potential option available to Coast Guard cutters, and that is a transit through the Panama Canal and reach Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, which frankly just is not a very good option. So in light of these challenging logistics, which contribute to the length of time detainees can spend on Coast Guard vessels, the Commandant has said that the service is exploring the possibility of leasing a dedicated commercial vessel that would do nothing but hold suspects until they can be transferred to the United States. In other words, a prison ship. Now, this ship might actually be leased through the Department of Defense or Southcom, and it might be something like a commercial offshore supply vessel. However, it would be a civilian ship, but staffed by Coast Guard law enforcement augmentees to supervise the detained population. And an added outcome might also be the improved conditions for prisoners. However, that's far from any concern of the Admiral. For Frontline to Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. You are one amazing guy. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we're going to talk domestic terrorism with Captain Joe John. Then we'll talk about patrolling the DMZ in Korea with Mark Heathcote. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing push-ups now, and this is Groundhog's Day weekend. Let's do 24, then stand at ease. Spartan Nash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Nash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Nash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all of our facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel 50 million miles each year.
Learn more at honorandremember.org.
For those who have loved ones serving in the military, waiting is a way of life, whether it's by the phone or by the computer. And waiting is not fun, especially when the waiting is for the status of an unexpected injury. Fisher Houses give families of wounded warriors receiving care at military or VA medical centers a home away from home, so they can focus not on waiting, but on being together in a time of need. Learn more at fisherhouse.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
You're listening to local media coverage after a 6.4 magnitude earthquake strikes off the coast of Taiwan. Buildings coming down in some areas. Crews called in to help people trapped. We're hearing of a hotel that's collapsed. No word of any injuries or deaths yet. Congress still working on a plan to avoid another government shutdown as they could run out of money by Thursday. Democrats continue fighting for a deal on immigration. House Speaker Paul Ryan at a Capitol briefing.
The only reason we do not have a full budget agreement is because Democrats continue to hold funding for our government hostage on an unrelated issue.
Republicans pushing for a six-week funding extension. Ryan saying Democrats can prevent another shutdown. The president reiterating calls for a crackdown on illegal immigration after police learn the man accused of killing Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson in a drunk driving crash isn't illegal. Trump tweeting that it's disgraceful a person in our country killed linebacker Edwin Jackson. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a one-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show a man I greatly respect, Joe John. He's a retired captain from our Navy and has served our nation in other ways, including the FBI. He's an astute observer of the military and foreign affairs, and he's not shy about speaking what's on his mind. Welcome back to the show, Joe.
Good to be back with you, Denny. Happy to be here and trying to help.
Joe, give our listeners a quick review of your service in the Navy and Navy Reserve and also in the FBI.
Well, I graduated from the Naval Academy and went on into surface warfare. I served in six Navy destroyers, and halfway through my military career, an all-nav went out asking for people who could speak Arabic to work with the SEAL teams. I wasn't very good at it, but I put the word in. Unfortunately, I was the only person in the whole Navy responded to that all-nav. And so I got pulled into special ops, and I made 9 special operations with SEAL teams the rest of my career. And from there, I got recruited into the FBI and was an intelligence analyst and a specialist in Al-Qaeda and counterterrorism. Today, I helped establish an organization called the Combat Veterans for Congress with the Congressman Barry Goldwater. And our goal is to recruit combat veterans right off the battlefield and get them to run for Congress. We've been moderately successful. We've endorsed 114. We've elected 32 people to Congress, 3 senators, and 29 members of the House.
And folks, if regular listeners know that I totally support Combat Veterans for Congress. They're doing the research to pick the right people, and we're also sending people to Congress who have been shot at for our country, which most of the people in Washington don't even have any idea that could happen. So that's why I like Joe and like him to join us. Joe, there are a lot of real enemies the U.S. has in the world today. Not the least of them is China, which we discussed last week, and their puppet North Korea, and Russia and Iran and ISIS, to name a few. Those are the people just really hate us that we know about. But there's another battleground that I think is more dangerous, and that's those who want to destroy our Constitution and our way of life right here in the USA. I guess I'll call them domestic terrorists. Joe, I know you've given that some thought. I know we need a wall. We talked about that last week to protect our southern border, but it's going to take a long time to get that done, even if we do move ahead. Terrorism in our country is not going to be. It is a threat, and it's going to get worse. Am I right?
It is. It's going to get a lot worse. We have a number of domestic terrorist organizations that the people listening to this program are very well aware of, people like Antifa, who wear the black garbs and cover their faces and use baseball bats and light fires, etc. That's one of them. You know, the new Black Panther Party, and there are many others. The Communist Party is very, very active in this country today. The underground organizations just keep springing up all over the country.
You know, and when we say communist, that really doesn't mean they're allied to Russia. It means they subscribe to the idea of basically absolute dictatorship, right?
That's correct. And they all have different names. They call themselves the Revolutionary Communist Party, the Progressive Unity Fund, the Communist Workers Party, the Hardcore Marxist Leftist Organization World Workers Party, the Communist Industrial Workers of the World. There's many, many, too many for us to document in this one conversation.
But they are alive, they are real, and they are a threat to the United States today, right?
They certainly are, and there are people who support them. A lot of people support them. The Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam, Louis Sharpton's National Action Network, the organization planning to destroy 350 Confederate statues, Color of Change, the radical Hispanic separatist group called La Raza. And it's just too many for me to talk about in this one conversation.
And these are people who are here in America today. They may have contacts from outside the country, and they may have come in from outside the country, but they're here today doing and planning things, training and growing today in America. This is not a future thing, though they'll probably get worse. This is real today, right?
Yeah, this coalition of activists and organizations started back in 2000 in the race against then Governor George Bush from Texas. And they aligned themselves with the Democratic Party, and they opposed his election. And, of course, when he ran for re-election in 2004, they got the support of George Soros, who provided billions of dollars to all these radical groups. Unfortunately, they weren't successful in 2004. Where they hit a home run was with the election of Obama in 2008. And, of course, they got much stronger in the 8 years he was in office. And he appointed many of them to key positions throughout our national government and a lot of the security networks, including the FBI, including the CIA, including IRS, and many other organizations. And so this has grown, and now they've turned into a very violent anti-Trump organization. Last year, there were 400 demonstrations in 44 states. They were trying to create problems for the current administration. Luckily for us, we have a pretty tough president who just blew past all of it and made excellent progress in 1 year, despite all the negative actions by people in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and the activists outside of government.
You're right. This is Colonel Denny Gilman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing domestic terrorism with Captain Joe John. And, folks, this might sound to you like it's a little bit of, come on, give me a break, conspiracy. No, trust me, this is not. They're doing as well as they are because people who really care don't think this is real. But it is, and it's dangerous, and it's our problem. And one of the big problems I felt was when I saw President Obama appointing two key positions, FBI, CIA, all those positions, people who are known Islamic terrorists. They are members of the Muslim Brotherhood. They are members of all those kind of groups. And therefore, they're on the inside. They know they have access to everything. And therefore, it's available to all our enemies inside and outside. That's true, isn't it, Joe?
Yes, and I think your listeners should understand who the Muslim Brotherhood is. The Muslim Brotherhood it's an international terrorist organization that was founded in 1928. They have created organizations called Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas, the Taliban, Shabab, Boko Haram, and many other radical Islamic terrorist groups throughout the world. The Muslim Brotherhood front organization is CARE, and they try to portray themselves as a good group that's trying to protect Muslims in the country, but they're part of the International Terrorist Organization.
CAIR is C-A-I-R, Council on American Islamic Relations, and it's located in the United States. That's exactly
right.
What Joe's describing.
And the Muslim Brotherhood is considered and designated as a dangerous international terrorist organization by Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Russia. Israel, Canada, and the United Kingdom are considering designating the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE as international terrorist organizations. But CARE was designated as an international terrorist organization outlawed in 2014 by the United Arab Emirates. And a lot of their leaders are in jail now and have been convicted of terrorism. And they still portray themselves as a wholesome pro-Muslim group. They're not. They're terrorists.
And this is not to say all Muslims fall into that category, but it is to say that these organizations, which are the most prominent and the most influential in our country, are. And they are. One of them has been a non-indicted co-conspirator. Was that CARE?
That's correct. They were one of the FBI designated them as an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation terrorist case. I want to make one comment here. There are 7 million people in this country from the Middle East, Arabic countries. 98% of them are solid Americans who served in the military, going back to World War II. And there are many Muslims, but there are a lot of Christians in that group of Arabs. And so you've got to be very, very careful not to indict 7 million good Americans who are police officers and firemen and school teachers and professors. So it takes a little bit of effort in your own local districts to pay attention to what's going on.
That's very, very true. There's more to discuss about these enemies on our home front, and Captain John is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gilman on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. Pay us some money I do every day. Then take a break or stay in the area. Joe John and I will be right back. Mike Hewitt here. Watching the Democratic decorum in the House chamber and then the rebuttal to the State of the Union address, coupled with the overtly predictable media review thereafter, I find myself, an American dreamer, trying to understand the appeal to their relentless negativity. It seems in their world everything is wrong. Lowest unemployment in the black community ever recorded and for all Americans in years. And they say anyone supporting such policies is a racist. I believe the opposite is true. Anyone working to perpetuate an ideology that has economically decimated minorities in America must be very confused at best. President Trump delivered a positive message for all Americans. A vision of unity, of sovereignty, of strength. The naysayers decided in advance to not listen or to be closed-minded. To place partisanship above what's best for our union of states is a slippery slope. President Washington warned us against party blindness, and he remains abundantly correct. Folks, it's just common sense. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation on domestic terrorism with retired Navy captain and former FBI guy Joe John. Joe, we were saying that the majority of the people of Arab ethnic background in the United States are, well, the average person in the world just wants to be left alone to live a life and be left alone. But terrorists and enemies who declare war and robbers and those kind of people don't let that happen. So we can't paint everybody with a broad brush, but we do have to be careful, don't we?
Certainly do. Just like you don't leave your car unlocked and you don't leave your front door unlocked. You just have to keep aware of your surroundings and be careful of who's working in your community.
Well said. Now, ISIS, while they don't own any turf anymore, or darn little, they're doing an awful lot of recruiting on the internet. From what I can tell, they're being somewhat successful. How big a threat is that?
It's a huge threat. You know, in this country, since 9/11, there have been 215 terrorist attacks, and they've been covered over by the previous administration and by the left-of-center liberal media establishment. The FBI right now has 1,000 terrorist cases in all 50 states. They've already convicted 37 terrorist organizations who plan to attack and kill Americans in this country. And this has been a major problem in our country for, you know, since 2000. It's been easily covered up by the media establishment and the left organization. I think that your people would be very surprised to know how many Americans have been killed by these terrorist organizations. To date, there have been 253,000 Americans wounded either in the United States or in Iraq or Afghanistan by these terrorists. And since 9/11, there have been 215 attacks in this country, roughly 9,000 Americans have been killed overseas and here in the United States.
Well, this makes it pretty clear that the threat is not just here, it's everywhere. Some places, Afghanistan, Iraq, areas where we actually know we're at war, it's a little more obvious, but they're pretty ruthless, and they don't respect anybody, women, children, hospitals, schools, they don't care. They're just out to kill people who aren't like them, right?
That's correct. I was looking for the actual deaths since 9/11. 9,883 Americans have been killed, either in the United States or overseas, and 255,134 Americans have been wounded either in the United States or overseas. So we're actually at war with these radical Islamic terrorists. And this is something that has been covered over and is still being covered over by even members of the current administration. American people should understand we're at war, and this is not going to end quickly.
Well, it's very clearly not going to end quickly because it is so pervasive. It's a little bit like trying to clean up the VA. The VA had been corrupt for a couple of generations, and while the new VA secretary has got the authority now to start firing people and has fired a bunch of them, it's cleaning that place out of all those corrupt people who have got union protection and all that sort of stuff. It's going to be a long haul. And it's pretty much the same thing here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The current administration, I think, has got the right attitude. Hopefully, we'll slowly make some progress. We're going in the other direction for 8 years. Hopefully, we can turn this around.
Hopefully, we can. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing dealing with domestic terrorism with Captain Joe John. Joe, one of the things you are currently doing, and I want you to take some time to talk about, doing for our nation, is running a great organization, Combat Veterans for Congress. Given that this is an election year, yeah, it's the beginning of the election year, but this is an election year, that means all the members of the House of Representatives are going to be elected, and a third of all the U.S. senators, and that's not counting state and local positions. Take a few minutes and discuss your organization, their mission, and how listeners can plug in if they wish.
Well, I can go to our website and they'll be able to see an awful lot about our organization, the people we've endorsed to run for Congress, and the people who have been actually elected. To date, we've elected three senators and 32 congressmen. Many of them have moved on to other positions. The first Navy SEAL we elected is now the Secretary of the Interior. There are other people who are lieutenant governors. We have another endorsed combat veteran running for governor of Florida. We have various former congressmen serving in state governments throughout the country. They start in Congress and they move on and they go to bigger and better things. What we do is we have a template where we take a look at people coming off the battlefield and see if they can understand the issues, they support the Constitution, and can make a good presentation on the campaign trail. And then we endorse them, and then we give them support. Unfortunately, we don't have the kind of money that the unions have or a lot of the organizations supported by Soros has. So our Achilles heel in this effort is always funding. The campaigns are all about money. But we've been lucky because the members we select to run can make a good presentation on the stump, and they turn the hearts of a lot of Americans and get elected. So we've been successful, but we can be much more successful if we get more support. You can go to our website, and there's a donation page. Even $10 would be appreciated. This year, we've endorsed 22 people to run for Congress, and we're looking at 18 combat veterans in 17 states for possible endorsements. By the election, we will probably have endorsed 40 combat veterans to run for Congress, thereabouts.
So, folks, that means maybe somebody in your state, congressman or senator, will be endorsed by Combat Veterans for Congress. We need to keep track of every single one of them. If Combat Veterans for Congress has endorsed them, generally speaking, if you're basically conservative, particularly believing that our Constitution means what it says and says what it means, it's a legal document, not something that can be interpreted by anybody, and if you believe that we need a conservative economic policy, basically you'll fit. But there's all these other people that are running, and we need to know who they are. And what my call to you is, pay attention. Know who they are. I've said many times, most Americans vote stupid. That means I always vote Democrat. I always vote Republican. I always vote pro this. I always vote anti that. I always vote the way my friends, my union, my somebody. No. You have to know who they are. You have to pay attention if you're a good American, because we have to take care of America. Joe, I believe you believe that too, don't you?
Yes. There are 84 members of Congress currently who are members of the Progressive Organization. I don't know if your listeners understand what the word progressive means. Progressive, it was changed by Obama to mean something to include leftists and various people so that the American people could be hoodwinked on what progressives are. The Progressive Coalition in Congress are people who are not the kind of people that stand up when the Pledge of Allegiance is given in Congress. They stay seated. They support some of these radical groups, like the new Black Panther Party, Black Lives Matter, the Antifa. Many of these organizations are supported by members of Congress. And so we do have people elected to Congress who are not supporting many of the ideals we support and many of the things that American people stand by, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and many other things.
Joe, thank you. That says it. The website again, Joe?
Combat Veterans, that's plural, veteransforcongress.org. I'm not asking you for your money. I'm asking you to support. If someone locally is running as a combat veteran for Congress and you don't have the capital to help them, get in the campaign and be a volunteer. You can do many things. You can put the word out to your friends and associates to support those candidates.
And to that, I say amen. Joe, thank you for taking the time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation way back when, and thank you especially for what you're doing now. I appreciate you, brother.
Okay, thank you, Denny.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. Quote, the only thing I was doing was taking care of the troops as best I could, Canny told Military.com. Do that and everything takes care of itself. There's a battered church that has become a hallowed ground for those who fought in the Battle of Way City in 1968. They were in the rafters shooting down at us, said John Legato, a former private first class. The fight at the Jeanne d'Arc Catholic Church and school had already produced a posthumous Medal of Honor recipient. Now another Marine who fought through the early stages of the Battle of Way and that church is also about to receive the nation's highest award for valor. The most impressive combat Marine I ever knew, his platoon leader said in a phone interview with then Gunnery Sergeant Cannelly, who's 80, who's retired as a sergeant major and now lives in Oxnard, California. He attended the President's State of the Union address as a guest of Defense Secretary Mattis. So stand tall, Sergeant Major John Cannelly. Front Lines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with another author, Mark Heathrow, about patrolling along the DMZ in Korea. Then we'll talk about traumatic brain injury and review the State of the Union message. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, go somewhere and run some wind sprints through the snow if necessary. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
This report is brought to you by the National Endowment for Financial Education. Almost no one is safe from periods of lost income during their working years. In fact, these income losses are so common that 96% of Americans experience four or more of these income shocks, and 60% experience being out of work for a year or more by the time they reach age 70. Ted Beck, President and CEO of the National Endowment for Financial Education.
Well, one of the best ways to plan ahead to make sure that you're not as vulnerable to income shocks or surprise expenses ranging from your car breaks down, something happens to your house, a medical bill, is really to build an emergency savings account. It's okay to start with $500 or set a goal for $1,000. Over time, you will build that up and you'll be much less at risk from those surprises going forward.
For more information on how to prepare yourself for unexpected expenses, visit smartaboutmoney.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
You're listening to local media coverage after a 6.4 magnitude earthquake strikes off the coast of Taiwan. Buildings coming down in some areas. Crews called in to help people trapped. We're hearing of a hotel that's collapsed. No word of any injuries or deaths yet. Congress still working on a plan to avoid another government shutdown as they could run out of money by Thursday.